greetings once again to everybody out there at TFMR. Today's Wednesday, actually, and we're a day ahead of schedule on our A to A webinars, but that's okay. We've got a long day tomorrow, so we're doing A to A this week on Wednesday. Our guest this week, this should be a lot of fun. Andy Hoffman is an old friend. Gosh, I've known him for about as long as I've been known as Turd Ferguson, it seems. Back when Andy was known as Ranting Andy, right, Andy?
Yep, that name was given to me by Bill Murphy back in 2007 or 8, and it was because of all my emails about mining stocks, how frustrated I was way back then. That's when I got the name.
Yeah, well, gosh, it was a long time ago, but we're still fighting the fight. Andy now is, of course, marketing director at Miles Franklin, which is one of our favorite bullion companies based up in the Twin Cities. They're an affiliation of ours. They're just great company with great customer service and somebody we always want you to keep in mind whenever you're out looking to add to your stack. The service that Andy provides for the community is invaluable, and you know, it's a great way to thank them for all the work that Andy does is to use their services. So make sure you check them out at milesfranklin.com. Again, now we do these webinars on GoToWebinar so that you, as you're listening, can type in any question that you want for the guest. There's a questions tab on your GoToWebinar control panel. You click it, you type in whatever you want, it comes to me, and I relay it to the guest. But before we get started, Andy, I've got a couple of my own questions for you. So if you're ready, I might just lay them on you.
I'm as ready as ever. Get ready for the equivalent of a Trump tweet storm.
Well, that's what we're counting on, you know, because I looked at my schedule earlier this week, and again, I very much appreciate you jumping in and helping me out here on a Wednesday. I had no idea. I mean, where does the time go? You and I haven't done one of these since the Thursday after the election. And I thought, gosh, a lot has changed since then. You know, first of all, I've described it as a generally accepted narrative for 2017, you know, that the dollar was going to spike and interest rates are going to spike and all this stuff, and the opposite has been true. The metals have remained in check, but one of the things that we've seen persist, it's been a part of the precious metals markets, if you want to call them that, for about as long as you and I can remember, are these flash crashes where all of a sudden a massive order hits, blows out the entire bid stack. Sometimes it'll halt the market because it's so extensive. We had one back in gold back on June the 26th. We had a huge one in silver that clipped price for 10% in less than a second on July the 6th. That one occurred at 7:06 Eastern. And then lo and behold, last week we had two more, again at 7:06 Eastern. How about that, Andy? I'm just going to leave that there and let you run with it and tell everybody what you think of that whole shenanigan.
Okay, well, since we're going back to the election, you know, which I had called the Brexit times 10 in advance because I thought it would have such profound effects on the world, you know, for the negative, not necessarily because Trump would be in office. I mean, I helped him to win simply because I hated Hillary Clinton, but because of the dramatic change in the powers that be and the, you know, kind of the death blow that started with the Brexit to the centralized system that he represents. And of course, you know, what we got starting on election eve a few hours later was, you know, look, I mean, I remember sitting in my office back in 2005 or so, just saying, muttering to myself, each day worse than the last, you know, when you talk about manipulation. And I mean, here we are 12 years later, and it really keeps going. I mean, it's like the Ponzi scheme. It has to keep going. It has to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think it's no coincidence, even though it's kind of, we kind of thought, oh, he'd win and then metals would explode and stocks would fall. What has actually happened was it just made the people who are manipulating the markets that much more scared. And that's why they've gone absolutely berserk to the point that we now have, as I call them, dot-com valuations in a Great Depression era. We got record low VIXs. We got a Dow that literally is never allowed to go down ever. We have no intraday declines. We have no volatility. We have no such thing as bad news anymore. I mean, look, oh, my God, we're going to go to nuclear war. The Dow is down 0.2%. Wow, that is – they're probably going to write – they're probably even on Zero Hedge writing today about stocks tumble because they're down 0.2% because we might go to nuclear war imminently. But the point is that this Ponzi scheme has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and what they created that night – remember, going into the election, right, it was all about – if Hillary wins, it's great for stocks and bad for gold. And, you know, oh my God, James Comey exonerated her 2 days before the election, and the Dow goes up 300 and gold gets smashed. And anytime Trump is going to win, oh, it's good for gold and it's bad for stocks. And then amazingly, after that proved to be true on election night, a few hours later, they came in by tripling, quadrupling, quintupling, septupling, sextupling, octupling their manipulation to the point where they've created this new meme overnight of, let's call it Trumpflation, which means now he's good for stocks and bad for gold. I mean, this is the same guy who said we were in a big, fat, sticking bubble, but now it's great. The stock market's at an all-time high. The unemployment rate, it was all fake and fraud. Now, look at this. The unemployment rate is great. Like, all of a sudden, everything was switched overnight, and he jumped right on board with it. And the next thing you know, we have the ridiculous all-time high stock markets as the economy collapses and metals are under pressure every single day, et cetera. And you know, you talk about the parts. This was the meme of Trumpflation was, okay, you're going to have a surging stock market, of course. I mean, you have to have a surging stock market all the time. Plunging gold, you have to have plunging gold no matter what's going on in the world. You're going to have surging base metal prices, but not silver. You know, silver, again, is a monetary metal only when monetary metals are going down, but it's only an industrial metal when industrial metals are going down. So even though silver, almost all the silver is used for industrial purposes, it's going to be zinc and copper that are going to be going up during this period to the point that their own bubbles are created. Oh, now the dollar index is going to go up. Even though we want trade wars and Trump himself says the too strong dollar is killing us, but the dollar is going to go up, which really is meaningless. I mean, look, I've written now, I think, 5 or 6 articles titled If a Nuclear Bomb Destroyed Europe, and my point is that it's mocking the whole dollar index. There's no absolutely zero proof historically that either rising rates or a rising dollar index are bad for gold. They're just kind of tools, just kind of like you talk about, you know, when they move the yen around or the VIX around. These are just some of the tools that they use as, you know, to get traders to do things. And there's no real correlation between the dollar index and gold. And, of course, when you're talking about the dollar index, 60% of it is the euro, which is falling apart itself. 25% of it is the yen, which is self-destructing. So how can anyone talk about, you know, when these currencies are trying to be destroyed by the central bank, that it somehow would be bad for gold? But anyway, that's the meme. And the other meme that was even crazier was we're going to have rising interest rates. Oh, yes, so we're going to have all-time high stock valuations at the same time we have rising interest rates? No, that doesn't work. That's never worked throughout history, but that's the meme they created. And anyway, here we are, nine months later. Literally every single one of their things has fallen apart, with the exception of super high stock prices, because that's the, you know, the Dow Jones propaganda average has to be held up. The, you know, gold and silver have come up somewhat, but they've been capped, as always. Today, you know, we're going to nuclear war, gold's up 1%, the 1% cap. It's been going on for the past 15 years as far as I've been watching it. And then you throw in, you know, the flash crashes. It's funny, it only becomes news when, like, Zero Hedge, you know, actually reports on it. I mean, there's a reason, by the way, why I'm never put on Zero Hedge. It's because I called out Tyler Durden. I wrote Zero Hedge sucks, yeah, you, Tyler Durden, back in, like, 2011, because he wouldn't report properly on precious metal manipulation. And while he's a little better at it now, he still doesn't get it, okay? Just like he's going to write stocks tumble when the Dow falls 0.2%. But, you know, these flash crashes, I mean, we've been watching them forever, always at the same time of day. I mean, I talk about the 2:15 a.m., I talk about the Sunday night settlement, I talk about the 12 o'clock capital last resort, the 10 o'clock a.m. key attack time number one, which is when the physical markets close, the 2 o'clock p.m. crybaby attack, the Six Sigma attacks in the Globex market right after the New York Stock Exchange closes. And, of course, the one that I hadn't written about was the 8 o'clock, I call it the 8 o'clock algo, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is one of the thinnest times of the day because Asia is just waking up and the West is going to sleep. And, I mean, almost every day you watch it slowly taken down, or if it even attempts to go up a tiny bit, then it's capped. But what we've seen now recently is they did a couple of these attacks, as you say, at 7:06 p.m. And basically, I wish I could curse now, but they're basically saying F you. Like, they're laughing because when they did that one the other day, and by the way, that one on July 6th was 10% from 16 to 14:50 in a matter of, I think it would happen in 1 minute. I had the screen.
No, it was actually less than a minute. It was almost in a matter of, it was like maybe less than 5 seconds to clear all those trades.
Yes, that was bigger than the Sunday night paper silver massacre, and I can give you a whole book about what happened on that night, especially because most people don't even realize by noon the next day, gold was up for the day, and silver was down only a dollar. So when they talked about the Sunday night crash, it had come back, but they went to the 12 o'clock cap, the last resort, which they, you know, that was the perfect use of that name. And then they doubled up and knocked it back down again because they were not going to lose. But anyway, so now they're, you know, the 8 o'clock algo, they decided to do it two or three times at exactly 7:06 to kind of mock. And to me, that would represent, to me, this represents peak cartel, okay? Because they basically, the whole world is starting to realize what they're doing, and they just showed their hands for anyone else who did not have an understanding of what's going on. And it's not a coincidence that me, who never really predicts anything, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago that I wrote the article, The Most Precious Metal Bullish I've Ever Been, because between the supply and demand factors and the monetary factors and the geopolitical factors and the economic factors, there's just too much going on. And now you got this maniac in the White House who's trying to challenge Kim Jong-un for being the biggest maniac in the world, trying to set off World War III over absolutely nothing. You know, it's just going to be a war between children. And, you know, it's inevitable that something like this happens. Whether it's something this simple or something a lot more complex.
Andy, I want to ask you one more question before we get to the listener questions. And it has to do with Bitcoin. You've been a proponent of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency now for quite some time. Always been a big physical gold and silver advocate. I know you don't think much of the mining shares, but I know you've been on the cryptocurrencies for quite a long time. You know, there's been, I think I mentioned to you, we here at TF Metals Report, there's been kind of a bit of a tug of war in that there are folks that have played along in Bitcoin and have profited, and it certainly, I mean, should feel pretty good about that. But then there are folks that haven't, and they want the site to stay kind of focused on the metals, and that's what we're trying to do. We try to stick only with the metals and miners every day because that's kind of our niche. However, all that said, you have been adamant that gold and silver and Bitcoin all fit together and are complementary to each other, not necessarily even in just price rise, but just in fighting against the banks. So one of the things I wanted to have you address is just that topic, why you see it that way and why we should all at least, even if you don't own Bitcoin, feel pretty good about the growing acceptance of it.
Yeah, well, look, to start, you know, what you were talking about, and I get it too. I mean, I've had people at, you know, clients, people at Miles Franklin say, how could you say anything bad about Donald Trump? You know, first of all, I probably was more responsible for him getting elected than like 99.9% of the population. I mean, geez, he used the term Brexit times 10 in his campaign speeches, okay? But I only tried to help him because I hate Hillary Clinton so much, and frankly, I thought he'd be better for gold than she would. Which ultimately, it'll be a tie. They would both be just as good for gold. But the point is that I just wanted him to get in so she would lose. But I immediately said right after that, look, he's not going to get anything done, certainly not these ridiculous things he's promising. One, because they're unfeasible, and two, because everyone in Washington hates him. And so people say, how can you say bad things about him? Why? Because it's the truth, just like what I'm talking about now. I mean, my last 2 days' articles are, you know, the most precious metal bullish quote ever, and then today's was called, did I say that, the most bullish ever? Well, Trump beat himself 24 hours later between his comments about low interest rates and wanting a weak dollar and now the fire and fury in North Korea, let alone what he's talking about this morning, boasting to the world about how strong our nuclear arsenal is. I mean, these are facts. And it doesn't matter whether you like the guy or not. And frankly, anyone who actually believed that this buffoon was going to be the savior of America, shame on you. And frankly, the same goes for all the people who just don't want to recognize reality in the monetary world. You can, you know, all the people who say Bitcoin, it's gold's competitor. If Bitcoin goes up, gold will go to zero. It will be replaced. Gold is much better than Bitcoin. I mean, these are just kind of meaningless statements. The fact is that cryptocurrency is here to stay. Cryptocurrency is having the biggest flood of money into it, probably of anything since the dot-com era. If not more, and we're just getting started here, for a reason, because it's the way that the 99% can fight against the system. Yes, the beginning stages, most of it have been speculative because things are going up, but the average person really is only starting to even recognize it exists for that very reason. But to me, from having used it, just like I tell people, look, if you hold a quarter in one hand and you hold a gold coin in the other, you know the difference. Well, when you send wires and write checks and deal with horrible banks and customer service on the one hand, and then when you just click and send $1,000 or $100,000 overseas in 5 seconds anonymously without anyone bugging you, and you can do it on Sunday morning if you want to do it, then you realize the difference. And while the system is new and nascent and there's changes and there's all kinds of, you know, I mean, actually the scaling debate, we just hit a major milestone this week, but there's always challenges to it, and governments are going to fight it, like the United States government will, you know, fight to save its franchise, and it'll cause some bumps in the road, but it, you know, ultimately they're going to lose, just like the gold cartel is going to lose because they're going to, you know, run out of gold. Or as I've been saying lately, I no longer think the base case scenario is just like, well, yeah, if we bomb North Korea and there's like World War III, yes, there'll be a physical run. But more likely, people will be so fixated on the new money of the future, cryptocurrency, that governments will just disband the gold cartel and say, why are we fighting this stupid thing? We don't even have any gold and silver left to start with. And B, no one's going to even care anymore. Let's just let it go. Heck, we probably have some nice long positions. We'll make money. And for the first time ever, you can own gold and silver and think, hey, it can go up 10 or 20 times, and I'm not going to have it confiscated or windfall taxed or banned or government agents come into my house. You'll just have a nice return on investment, a really, really nice return on investment. And as the world continues to grow, well, the demand for precious metals will grow because they're a scarce asset. In the case of Bitcoin, though, it's changing the world. It's not just Bitcoin. It's cryptocurrency. It's decentralized monetary system. So what it's competing with is fiat currency. It's not competing with gold. I wrote in May of 2016, not this year, 16, I wrote Precious Metal and Bitcoin, Twin Destroyers of the Fiat Regime. In December, I wrote Why Bitcoin Will Make Gold and Silver Go Up. I mean, heck, I wrote 2 weeks ago, Bitcoin SegWit Activation, the Gold Cartel's Worst Nightmare. I'm trying to tell people that Bitcoin is the greatest ally that's ever been for precious metals. We think about all we've been through in 15 years in this space, and nothing has worked. They've gotten more powerful than ever. They say, we'll do a flash crash at five in the morning on the July 4th week, and doesn't really come back. And, you know, I mean, they do whatever they want, no matter how much money is printed or how bad the economy is or how many wars are going on. But the fact is, this is something that they can't beat because they can't control Bitcoin. They won't even come close to control it. There'll be absolutely no mechanism from doing it. Anything they try to do, like a Chinese finger trap, is just going to get tighter, because this is going to be the 99% of the people of the world finally saying, F you to the system. No one has destroyed us and our descendants and our ancestors more than this freaking fiat currency system, and this is our way out. And all the while that this is going on, where the money is flooding out of the fiat system, out of these overvalued stocks and bonds and real estate projects, and they're going to be leaving the fiat system and going into the crypto system. And some of it, of course, is going to be going into the most undervalued wealth of storage of wealth assets in the history of mankind. I mean, I've been writing about the math of how gold and silver are the most inflation-adjusted lows that they've ever been at, the historical valuation anomalies we see in our business. I mean, I was the other day making trades where I was buying numismatics that are 100-plus years old, authenticated MS-62s for barely the price of a new gold eagle. Because people have just given up in the West, and they don't realize what ridiculous bargains the gold-silver ratio at levels like this, when we're going to run out of silver, and per what the mainstream is believing. The same thing goes with platinum. The platinum-gold ratio at an all-time low. So there's all of these things going on that make this the biggest screaming buy of all time from a protection standpoint and from an investment standpoint. At the same time, with the financial assets, and we were at the point where the Japanese government owns 75% of the ETFs. The European bonds take care of QE. The average high yield bond in Europe is 2.4% yield. 2.4% for junk bonds. I mean, so again, the chain. It's not going to be money leaving gold. First of all, does anyone know anyone who's selling gold? No one sells gold. No, right. They're going to be selling fiat currency and fiat currency assets to go into cryptocurrency. And some of that money is going to go into gold and silver, especially when we finally have that long awaited, most overdue ever crisis.
Does it concern you, Andy? I saw a thing last week about, I can't remember the source, but it was about banks moving to start Bitcoin futures trading. Does that concern you at all?
No, it doesn't. The less paper money systems you have, and it, again, it's so amazing because Turk, you know very well. You know as much about technical analysis as anyone, right? You know a lot about technical analysis.
Let's just put it that way. That's fine.
Okay. Well, the thing that's so beautiful is in the gold and silver space, in the stock market space, it's completely useless. I mean, yeah, you can use it as a guide and say, oh, the RSI is way oversold. It probably is due for a bounce. But for the most part, you know that for 15 years we've watched those charts painted,
right.
And nothing works. The Dow never goes down, never has a correction. But if you watch the Bitcoin, I watched the top Bitcoin. This guy Tone Vase is really good with technical analysis. It really works in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
You know why?
Because
it's a freely traded market.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's amazing to watch how accurate technical analysis can be when applied to a free market, which we haven't seen in so long. And yes, the governments will try to do things, right? Like here's the beauty. Like they just announced the other day they're going to have options, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that what that's going to do, if they think that that's going to help control it, no. That's going to bring in massive amounts of institutional money into the space. And given that we're in this huge bull trend, I assure you more of that money is going to find its way to the long side. The other thing is the ETF, which is going to get approved at some point. There's going to be pressure on them. And if they think, oh, well, if we have an ETF, then we can, it'll be like GLD, we can, you know, lend the shares out, and we can, it's not going to work that way. It's going to backfire against them because it's going to bring in a swarm of investor types that are not allowed to buy anything except for exchange-traded products. And again, that primary trend is powerful. And governments don't own, they don't even have, it's not like gold where they can at least pretend that they have these big stores of gold and they have no Bitcoin. No one has Bitcoin. Bitcoin
is as
scarce of an asset as you're going to be. The float is tiny, and that's why when you see it trade so much, you know, I mean, it can be terrifying owning it sometimes because it'll plunge $200 in 15 minutes. You think, oh, there's news or something. No, it's just that thin because the float is so thin, and they can never make the float bigger because of the scarcity.
Right, which is why I bought it in the first place. I bought a whopping 3.7 Bitcoin, Andy, over the last 6 months of last year after I understood what the halving was all about.
Yes.
That happened last summer. And I went, wait a second.
Yes.
We've got increasing demand and a future supply that's being cut in half consistently. How does that not work?
As long as people have confidence in that SHA-256 cryptocurrency algorithm, which they do, it's not going to be broken. And also the bigger thing was that the scaling, that they'd be scaling and that there wouldn't be these forks where people go, oh, well, it's not really 21 million, it can be twice as much. Well, look, someone just forked this Bcash the other day, and you know what happened? The system laughed at it, said, no, you're not, this is not two Bitcoin. This is just some altcoin. And that's the whole point. Now people are starting to realize, you know, there really is a 21 million cap that can't be broken and can't be changed by any centralized figure. And that's why you're going to see institutional money flood into this thing. And there's very few outlets to even short it, let alone try to manipulate it. And again, you know, gold and silver are manipulated primarily in like two markets, like London and New York. But when you talk about Bitcoin, there are major exchanges all over the world. I mean, some of the biggest trading is in like South Korea. You think the South and Japan, which might be the number one, they just made Bitcoin legal tender. Like it's not a commodity like it is here. It's a currency. They want this stuff, okay? So, again, you can't fight the will of the world, and people are going to be not leaving gold. They're going to be leaving the fiat currency system and leaving the fiat currency assets. I've been talking recently how I think stocks and bonds are archaic because they were created with good intentions, just like the U.S. dollar was created with good intentions. But they've been so badly abused by the banks, by the government, by the corporate titans, to the point where they're as inefficient as banks are. In general, plus who wants to give business to banks? These guys have destroyed America as much as the politicians. So I think the ICOs and all kinds of shadow financing and all means of getting away from Washington and getting away from Wall Street and getting away from the Federal Reserve, that's where the future is. And believe me, it's a lot quicker than people think. And by the way, if Donald Trump is stupid enough, which is looking with each passing day like he is, to start a war with North Korea, that future is going to start that day.
Yeah.
Because that will be the end of the gold cartel. It'll be also the end of four-digit Bitcoin, and it'll be the end of any credibility of central bank or governments of major Western nations.
Let me use that, Andy, as a segue into the first of two questions that I had emailed to me, all right, from people that couldn't listen today. And this one, first question from Mikey Riley has to do with Bitcoin, so that's why I decided to start here. He said, Andy, I like the idea of a free market creating solutions like Bitcoin. And I actually intended on buying a couple of them when it back was under 1,000. I read then how imperative it was to set up an offline wallet, and that's where I got snagged. I try to be consistent and use the same logic for most everything, including investments. So my questions are, is Bitcoin an unbacked currency? is a currency, a store of value, and if you don't hold it, do you own it? I'll just let you run with that.
Right. For one, I mean, how is Bitcoin any less of a currency than the dollar? The difference being that Bitcoin is not issued and printed by a government and has a cap. So it's a lot more of a currency. If you look at the definition of money, you know, it's got to be scarce. It's got to be the amount fungible, divisible. It's got all those things over the dollar. The only thing is it's brand new, so its level of adoption is lower. And most of the people use dollars because they have to, except they're, like you're seeing with the Russian and the Chinese, and now all the people who are starting to use cryptocurrency, that level of adoption of the dollar is starting to go down as Bitcoin's going up, and the technological pace moves very quickly. So to me, look, what has my career been about? It's been about storing value, of getting out of the fiat system. I had all of my net worth, aside from my house, in precious metals, except now I have a big portion in Bitcoin as well, because I believe it is the money of the future. I believe it, that gold and silver are the wealth storage kings that they've always been and always will be, but they're going to be sharing that decentralized value with cryptocurrencies, not all of them, but certainly Bitcoin and possibly several others. Sharing, they're allies together in this fight. And as for if you don't own it, then you don't hold it. Well, yeah, probably more so than ever. And that's the whole thing with adoption of Bitcoin. People need to get to understand a system where you don't put it at the bank, and if there's an error, you call the bank and say, hey, put it back. No, you're responsible for your private keys, and you're responsible for how you use them. And when I first got my Trezor, a Trezor device, T-E-R-E-Z-O-R, and I stored my stuff offline, which it looks like a thumb drive, you know, it's unnerving when you make the first transaction, because you literally, let's say you have $20,000, you buy it at an exchange like Coinbase, and then you send it to yourself. And you're terrified because you send and you go, well, what if something goes wrong and that $20,000 is gone?
Right.
But guess what? It's never gone. If you just do it the right way, it's never gone. So the fact that I've now made big transactions where I'm not even worried anymore because I just know how to do it. It's no different than, you know, when you first got an ATM machine and, like, my wife still won't put money into a cash in. But, you know, after I put in, like, $300 the first time, just put the cash in, I'm like, yeah, it goes in. It's not going to be a problem. And people will understand that, but you cannot store on an exchange. We just saw BTCE, the third or fourth biggest exchange in the world, exit scam, just take all their money. They arrested the guy. That was it. You've seen so many of these things steal your money or get hacked. No, you have to store it yourself, but you have to be careful what you use. I personally use the Trezor, and there's a guy named Adam Meister. You can Google the Bitcoin Meister. He has consulting sessions where he helps you to understand some of these questions. Or if you just go and listen to the World Crypto Network and some of the real smart, you know, people on Twitter, and you'll learn. You definitely, just like gold and silver, you can't trust third-party storage. I mean, yes, we in Miles Franklin, we believe our Brink storage program is as reliable as you can get in the gold industry. But when it comes to crypto, there's really no backers. There's no Brinks out there. You've got to do it yourself.
Yeah.
So you have to be aware of where the safest places are. And I personally think Trezor, and there's a couple others, there's one called Ledger Nano, are extremely secure and well known for their security.
Probably.
And achievement.
And it goes to that. That's only going to become more important for anybody that owns Bitcoin as awareness and price value, you know, dollar price goes up. You know, that's only.
Yeah, and again, people are going to realize they don't need banks. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, I need a bank to hold on to my money because I might get robbed. Well, first of all, if you have, like, let's say a Trezor, one of these other things, it's almost impossible to get robbed. If you hide it, who's going to find these tiny little things? Not to mention they have passwords. And even if they found the password, you know, they'd have to find the thing and the password, which would be almost impossible to do. You'd just hide them in two extremely different places. No, you're taking charge of your own life. We don't need banks to hold our money. And what do they do with our money? They steal it. They destroy it. They invest in scams. They pay us nothing for it. They hyperinflate the currency that it's issued in. So again, this is what I'm talking about. Take charge of yourself and understand that the technology age is here. This is the greatest invention since the internet itself, and it will take over the world. And if you want to be someone who's like, oh, no, it's not, only gold is good, but for completely different reasons. But Bitcoin is changing the world, and you need to, just like you need to hold a gold coin to understand its value, you need to just get an account at Coinbase, buy a tiny bit, send it to yourself back and forth, and realize the power that this has. And think about it, in places that don't have, you know, banking systems like we do over here. The world is changing quickly, and you better adapt to it.
And at the end of the day, people just need to understand they are complementary to each other. That's why we're talking about it. It's not that you have to have one or the other, or anybody's going to sell their gold and buy Bitcoin. No, you might be able to lock in Bitcoin gains if you want and buy more gold, because as that ratio changes. But that was the point of asking about it, Andy. And I don't want to turn this into solely a Bitcoin webinar, because clearly that's not, you know, the direction we want to go with this discussion. But I do have one last follow-up. And this is a question from the queue, and then we'll get back to the metals. This comes from Rory Hall. You know Rory at Daily Coin, right?
Of course.
Yeah, he's listening in, and he has written recently about how Bitcoin was developed with technology from the NSA working in conjunction with MIT. So he's just wondering what your thoughts are on this topic. Why haven't the banks or governments attacked these cryptocurrencies as being counterfeit, which I think is what we're, you know, talking about, the direction they'll probably try to go.
Well, look, with all due respect, and I saw that he wrote that, with all due respect to Rory, who I like, he's so completely wrong. And it's the same kind of thing. You're talking about people that, you know, I don't want to hear about Bitcoin on your calls. I just want to hear about metals. Well, Bitcoin and metals are integrally linked. And as I said, fighting the cartel now with Bitcoin is like fighting with a nuclear bomb as opposed to the slingshots we've been fighting with. It's our friend. And, you know, I mean, I listen to people like Peter Schiff. My God, I mean, can he dig his grave deeper with the stupid things that he says about Bitcoin? And when it comes to, you know, things like it's been developed by the NSA, says who? That's the most, what, maybe there was someone in the government who was working on cryptography, and cryptography is not a new science. It was Satoshi Nakamoto, with quotes around it, who developed the protocol of Bitcoin, however. It was the most brilliant scientific discovery since, I don't know, the wheel, the Internet, whoever invented it, and it wasn't Al Gore. And the fact is, I mean, first of all, to think that that it was the government that invented anything intelligent except for bombs is even more ridiculous. But who cares if the government invented it? It's SHA-256 algorithm. It's quantum computing, you know, that would be impossible to break. And by the way, anyone who says, oh, well, they'll be able to crack it. Good. When they do, then they'll go to the SHA-540 on the Bitcoin network. So the point is, no, the government has nothing to do with it. The government, the enemy of Bitcoin is the government. There's no way that they can stop it. There's no way that they can break it. There's no way they can hack it. If they could hack it, they already would have. They'd hack it today.
Yeah,
they can't do it.
They can run a propaganda campaign where they say, you know, it's only used by terrorists, you know, and drug dealers and stuff like that, like they do the $100 bill. But
We got propaganda campaigns like what we're talking about here within the precious metal community.
Yeah,
Everyone is so desperate to believe that Bitcoin is going to go to zero and gold is going to take its place, when they don't realize we're fighting against fiat currency, the $300 to $400 trillion of assets in these freaking overvalued stocks and bonds and real estate. That's where the money is going to come out into, you know, the golf ball through a garden hose, into the few asset classes that are worth investing in. One, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, because it's the new asset class of generations. And two, precious metals, because they've been so suppressed, and they still have those same monetary values.
Right.
They are,
right,
and again, not monetary value like a gold standard. That's so ridiculous. Like, we're going to trust the government to, you know, like they haven't destroyed every gold standard before it, and they will have, like, they'll have any credibility after this fiat currency debacle. No, gold stores value. Silver stores value, and thank God, if you're getting into the game now, because the cartel has so thoroughly destroyed the supply outlook, they've so thoroughly destroyed the mining industry, that we're going to have declines for years to come, no matter what the prices do. So it's kind of like the halving. It's going to be like better than the halving. Yeah.
It's not to interrupt you, but that's such a perfect segue to the other emailed question that I have to jump in, because I'm just going to let you run then with this, because you're already there. JQuest noted that Steve Santangelo, silver miners production plummets, and he's just wondering if you've read it and what you think the impact might be on precious metal
prices. I was just talking, you're talking about the scrap, because you just cut off for a second. Yeah, I was just talking about it on my call just before. Yes, it's everywhere. It's in the scrap market, it's in the mine production market, it's everywhere. You know, we talk about the cash for gold. Remember, it was hot like 5 or 6 years ago, and then one of them even went public, and then it crashed to zero. Because why? Because anyone who had gold to sell, like jewelry that needed money, did it. You know, they did it in the 2008 crisis, and no one left. And the same thing with scrap. There was probably a lot of scrap that was sitting around, and when the price jumped up in the 2010-11, industries sold it off, same with silver, just to get some more money, especially because, you know, the propaganda just keeps telling you it's worthless, so I'll get some money for it. And lo and behold, here we are 10 years later, and there's no scrap left. It's all been sold off. The next wave of scrap is not going to come until you have an actual real bull run. Like if gold goes to $2,000, for instance, maybe some people who have some kind of warehouse level, you know, size scrap for gold and silver might say, yeah, maybe it's worth it to go through the process of selling it and liquidating it and paying the, you know, the discounts just to get some, you know, but now there's nothing left. And the same goes with mine supply. It's been absolutely, utterly decimated. Reserves have been falling for years. Production has gone nowhere for years, and now it's in free fall mode. The miners have not found anything. I remember there's been one major discovery of gold in the 15 years I've been in the sector. It was the Fruta del Norte mine in Ecuador somewhere around 2005 or 6. And it's never been developed because the Ecuadorian government wants a 70% royalty. Who knows if it's even as feasible as they say. It's been traded by three or four different companies. No one wants it. That's the only discovery I've ever heard of. And silver, I think there was like one in Argentina. They don't find anything anymore because it's all the low-hanging fruit has been found, all that stuff. And they're not going to find anything because they don't even have any money anymore. They've been so decimated. So the outlook for supply is in precious metals going forward is probably better than the outlook for supply of Bitcoin, because at least the Bitcoin supply will go up modestly. Gold and silver supply is going to keep falling, and it's going to be falling at a time where we're in this final blow-off stage of money printing as the world, as history's largest, most destructive fiat Ponzi scheme destroys itself.
All right, to that end, again, God, it's almost like I gave you these questions in advance, which I didn't, but it's a perfect segue to the final question that I have in queue, and so I want to invite anybody, if you have a question for Andy, type it in now through the questions tab. Because after this one, if we don't have any more, we'll move to the final four. But this is a segue to just what you were just discussing. This comes from Larry. He says, everybody out there, you know, like Jim Rickards and others are calling this an everything bubble. You know, when I talked to Chris Martinson 2 weeks ago, he said everything is overvalued. The only thing that's not overvalued is commodities, but everything else is brutally overvalued.
Many of the commodities are overvalued.
Well, some
not
of them
all,
are
but
that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, he said everybody sees a big correction coming for all these different reasons, you know, trade war, Italian banks, North Korea, all that kind of stuff. But it seems like the plunge protection team will keep everything continuing forever. What are your thoughts on this? Is it indefinite? Can they just keep that 45-degree angle going in the stock market by simple money printing, you know, and growing the G3 balance sheets? Or does eventually the thing just, I mean, reach a critical mass and collapse?
Right. Well, first I'll say you have to be careful who you listen to. You know, you're one of the few people that are worth listening to in this space, let alone the entire financial media, be it alternative or mainstream. There's so few people. And then you got very dangerous people like Rickards, who for every smart thing he says something incredibly dumb and misleading. So, yeah, you know, he's getting everyone worried there's going to be an SDR, which has got to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And the fact that he spends all this time scaring people over something that stupid shows you that you just have to be careful who you listen to. But you know, you're talking about wait, what is the question exactly?
How long? I mean, they've kept it.
Oh, can it keep it going forever? Right.
Stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
For money printing and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, the deflationary winds are massive. Okay, all this money printing and financial engineering and predatory lending. You know, I wrote an article, "The Direst Prediction of All," back, you know, 3 years ago, and I said that commodities and all kinds of things are going to fall, and they have. I mean, the CRB index is down, I think, 30% since I wrote that. But the difference between losses in real terms and nominal terms are two completely different things. So anyone who thinks that the stock market is just going to plunge, I mean, yeah, I guess if we actually go to nuclear war, I think the powers that be will be like, what's the even point? I mean, what's the point of trying to support markets? Some news is just too bad. Okay, to try to prop up. But aside from that, I mean, they've been doing this all over. Like I said, you know, a junk bond yield in Europe is lower than a treasury bond yield here. And you can only, yes, they can do it pretty far. The problem is you do run out of stuff to buy. I mean, Japan owns 3/4 of the ETFs. The Fed owns 1/3 of all the mortgage bonds. The ECB now owns 1/3 of all the high grade bonds, and you know, a lot higher percent of the ones that they currently can buy. So.
Right.
Yes, they can say we're going to buy everything, or they can figure out new wash trade technology where, like, if Japan owned every ETF and then every stock, but they still figure out a way to trade them to themselves at higher price. I mean, yes, I guess they theoretically could even do that too. But in real terms, once you get into those kind of levels of desperation, particularly because people know it. I mean, they already know, for instance, that Japan owns 3/4 of the stock. Then you're going to talk about are going to be a run on the currencies, and these are currencies that are being hyperinflated to start with. So you're going to have losses in real terms at some point. It doesn't matter if the – look at the Venezuelan stock market. It's been one of the best ones out there, and so is the Zimbabwe and the Weimar Germany stock market in nominal terms. But in real terms, which is all that matters to anyone, you're going to have massive crashes like we haven't seen at any time. It's just a matter of what the catalyst is and how it occurs. And it may well be a rush into cryptocurrency, which, believe me, would be the best thing in the world for gold, because gold is a tiny little market in silver, and I assure you that some of that flooding money out will flood into the tiny little illiquid, scarce gold and silver markets. Don't you worry. But again, can they keep it forever? No, of course not. This is an unprecedented experiment in financial lunacy, and everyone before it, even if they didn't have the technology of manipulating markets like they do now, has failed. And this is failing in front of our eyes. Look at the debt explosion going on around us, and look at the currencies that are serially collapsing and the geopolitical tensions, and look at our economy and the debt. So no, it can't go on forever. The holding down a scarce asset with paper markets can't go on forever. Holding up the real value of the most overvalued, stock and bond markets in history is not going to work forever. And there are so many things out there that can break that. But to me, aside from something as simple as like we drop a bomb in North Korea and start World War III, to me, the most likely reason to catalyze this is going to be an explosion of cryptocurrency adoption, because it's going to take the system and just throw it on its head. It's going to make people realize that the dollar and the euro and the Dow Jones propaganda average and the 2.4% yielding high yield bonds are so overvalued compared to, say, Bitcoin or gold and silver. And it's just going to be a flood of capital into very scarce markets that are very overvalued ones. And, it's going to be changes not just on the financial level, but in every aspect of our lives. And that's why while you and I talk about financials primarily, the whole point is to realize that the financials are changing, not just because, the stock market is overvalued, it needs to crash, and gold's undervalued, it needs to go back up, because the world is changing in every way, geopolitically, socially. I mean, look at the social changes that are going on in everyone's lives, the way they communicate, the way they entertain themselves, what they are spending money on, the Amazon.coms of the world. There's so many changes. And you have to realize that these things we're talking about are all integrally linked. And if you just ignore them or sit there and fixate on gold and nothing else, you realize that the whole world is changing and you have to be aware of it.
Andy, would you say or would you agree? I mean, at the end of the day, it's about confidence, that they can prop up the system and people continue to play along just because they're confident that they'll have access to their funds. They'll be able to sell their stocks. They'll be able to move money around. They're confident that they can do that tomorrow, but the system maybe only can last as long as that confidence continues. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Of course. And that's, the sad part of history is that so few people ever understand the big changes, even when it's so obvious. I mean, you talk about Amazon.com. For people not to realize the impact that this is having on the world, on the cost structure of the world, on the employment levels of the world, on the debt levels of all the companies that are ingrained in the current archaic system, and people just don't even look at these things. They don't really, do they not look at their finances? Do they not look at their bank and go, my bank has had to be bailed out. It's probably being bailed out right now. They are doing nothing for me except I'm more worried. I'd be more worried holding money in a bank than holding it in my backyard, and they're paying me nothing for it. Right. And they're doing nothing for me. I mean, how can anyone look at that and at the same time say, this Bitcoin is exploding in value, and people are talking about how you can do all your banking for free without anyone having any charge of it, be it a government or a bank officer or the FDIC, and just ignore that. I mean, these are huge changes that could impact you and make you, at this point, one of the wealthiest people in the world or one of the lemmings. It's your choice.
Yeah, and the same is said for gold and silver. We've always said negative interest rates, all the fees charged by banks, just charging you for the privilege of holding your cash is the most sound or strongest physical metal fundamental ever created, and that ripples through, like you said, to the cryptocurrencies as well. And everything still augurs for all of these changes, and we just have to wait for them to happen.
Yeah, the fact that people are that you're if you're in the system, ingrained into incorporated into, and you go and yeah, I don't want to buy gold. I mean, look, the stock market's going up, and look, the Washington says it's good. Wall Street says it's good. The mainstream media says it's good. Janet Yellen says it's good. And it's like, these are the same people that have destroyed your personal lives.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they've lied about everything. They've been wrong about everything. And for people to, at this stage of the game, seeing the debt explode and all the bad things going on in the economy, to say, yeah, I'm going to believe them and not believe the people who have been getting things right. And look, there's a reason that the Bitcoin is going up. It's because people, money is leaving the system. It's not a bubble. It's money leaving the system. And that's what people need to see. These are massive capital flows that are leaving the system that's dying into the system that's growing.
Well, with that, my friend, I think we will begin to wrap up. As you know, we have a, I guess we'll call it a tradition at this point. We've been doing this long enough. Of the final four, just four fun, quick questions on your way out that you can usually answer in a, you know, a word or just a sentence. So if you're ready, should we get started?
I'm ready.
All right. The first one, again, you can just answer this with a yes or no. Will the Fed raise the Fed funds rate again this year?
No.
I agree with that. All right. Number two, what is your favorite pizza topping?
Red peppers.
Really? Like the crunchy kind of, you know, like red peppers that, you know, you slice and put on?
Yeah, well, either crunchy or roasted. In fact, because my wife just made a pizza with roasted red pepper. I would say roasted red peppers. How's that?
It's August, which means it's summer doldrum time, vacation season, all that kind of stuff. Andy, if you could leave right now this afternoon on a vacation, where would you go?
Oh, well, that's tough. I'm such a simple man. It would be a hot place, you know, like the Caribbean. I just like to relax.
You have a favorite island? Just pick one. Doesn't matter.
I do like Jamaica. If you stay in the resorts, they're really nice.
Jamaica, man. All right, and lastly, who stays in power longer, Trump or Kim Jong-un?
Kim Jong-un.
I think that's probably a safe
because I don't think Trump is going to make it 4 years, and unless he actually nukes North Korea, which this question is moot, Kim Jong-un is staying around.
Yeah. Well, all right, pal, that was some good stuff, and I think everybody here greatly values what they just heard, but they also greatly value everything you do on a daily basis. Again, your work is found at milesfranklin.com. You've got audio blogs. You've got written blogs that you post there. Again, tell everybody again just how great Miles Franklin is and why they should use them for their bullion stack.
I mean, we've been around now 28 years without a single registered complaint. This is at a time where you've lost the Tolvings, Northwest Territorial Mints, you know, and all these companies that tell you that they're cheaper except when you want to actually sell product and they really ream you where we give you the best price. We also have the best storage programs in the industry with our Brinks private safe deposit box and segregated storage. And good guys, they've all been together for like 25, 30 years. We'll take good care of you. And look, call us 800-822-8080. Email me at ahoffman@milesfranklin.com. You'll be well taken care of.
Great stuff, my friend, and again, great people at Miles Franklin. I encourage you to check them out. Andy, I can't believe we went 9 months without doing one of these things. I promise I won't let that happen again.
I love doing them, so anytime you want.
Well, and please, keep your eye on things, keep writing and speaking, and you're one of the best advocates we have, and we sure appreciate all you do.
Much appreciated. Same to you, Craig.
All right, and everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.